Thank you, Madam Chairman, and the Ranking Member Chambliss, who just returned, for calling this hearing to focus on our rural communities. And I would say anybody interested in rural development, including the Undersecretary, should be very thankful that we have your leadership along with Saxby. You not only champion production agriculture, all of agriculture, but also rural development, and I thank you for that. I want to thank especially the witnesses. Dallas, thank you very much for coming up. I know you're a busy man. And General Clark, who's over there holding up the bookcase, and Glenn English, who is protecting our flank over here in the audience. General Clark, I was on Armed Service and Intelligence. I was very privileged to meet with him, work with him when he was the SACEUR of Europe and protecting our national security in fine fashion with forceful leadership. Thank you, sir. And Glenn, I'm sorry you left the Congress. We had a lot of English Roberts amendments in the farm bills at that time that were passed. Then you left before we could have any Roberts English amendments. But at any rate, thank you for being here. Now, with all of that, I hope that doesn't count against me. Before I ask my question to the Undersecretary, I just want to spend a moment painting a picture of the challenges that we face in Kansas and that many of our rural communities face, and it's along the lines of the excellent report and summary that the Chairman did in regards to Arkansas. I might just say, starting off, that the best rural development program we have, and this is a quote from former Congressman English on the floor of the House at one time, he said, the best rural development program we can have is farm income. And I think that is something that we ought to always remember. But at any rate, of Kansas' 627 cities, only six, have a population of 50,000 or more residents, and less than 20 reach the 20,000 mark. That means 600 Kansas cities and towns meet some definition of rural with regard to federal programs. So when you say rural, why, obviously you're talking about Kansas. I think I've been to all of these communities for listening tours. We not only go to the grassroots, we go to the grass weeds, and we enjoyed some of the best coffee, biscuits, gravy, and chicken fried steak that you can't get in this town that you'll ever taste. I appreciate the Undersecretary's testimony. As he points out, our rural Americans are struggling. While urban areas fret over opportunities for growth, rural communities desperately seek relief from out-migration of our most precious resource, and that's our young people, and the loss of businesses. And I also appreciate the Undersecretary's comments about rural communities working together. Your testimony states, quote, a holistic multi-community and multi-county approach will help address these challenges. I'm going to go a little bit further. And, Madam Chairman, I think we need a multi-agency coordination. If that has to be an acronym, it would be a MAC, and we need a big MAC. And I don't know if we have to have an acronym for that. Everything else does, so we might as well do that. But multi-agency coordination in regards to rural development and the preservation of our rural communities. Mr. Undersecretary, over the course of the last year, we've had every community, every grow organization, every farm organization, anybody interested in lending, anybody interested in rural development come through my door, and I know that's the case with every member here. And they always bring forward the same concern. They're very positive in regards to rural development programs, but they're very concerned, if not very frustrated, over burdensome and overreaching government regulations. Senator Chambliss touched on this in regards to the clean energy coal plant they're trying to get started down in Georgia. Your testimony points out that 95% of rural income is earned off the farm, yet recently proposed government actions threaten, in my view, the viability of these off-farm opportunities. Now, let me just name a few. Non-science-based standards over particulate matter, or what some call rural fugitive dust. Rural fugitive dust is back. In the 70s, actually in the 80s when I was a member, I finally tracked down the person in charge of rural fugitive dust. She was from Massachusetts, where else? And so at any rate, I finally, out of exasperation, said, "What do you want us to do?" She said, "We have all these gravel roads. Why don't you get water trucks to go out at 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon and spray the gravel roads?" I indicated I was very favorable to this program if she would just supply the trucks on the water. But it's back. Spray drift, atrazine, EPA's potential carbon rule, CAFO, the definition of navigable waters. Here we go again. Playa lakes and very small far ponds in Nebraska, Kansas. I mean, these are ponds where no self-respecting duck would ever land, you know, and yet they're navigable waters. That's just ridiculous. And then we have levee certifications, and I could go on and on and on and on. So, Mr. Undersecretary, your agency in charge with helping improve the economy and quality of life in rural America, with so many rural communities concerned that your sister agency's actions, I'm talking about the Department of Labor and EPA primarily, also the White House for that matter, result in the direct opposite of your goal. There's cross purposes there. And that doesn't make much sense to me. How does the Rural Development Agency work in a multi-agency fashion to address these concerns? You could sit down with Lise over at Labor and Carol at the White House and have a cup of coffee. I know the chairman would love to come. The ranking member would love to come. I'd love to come if you let me in the door. And we're at cross purposes here. Is there some kind of a meeting process that we could have a multi-agency coordination where you're for rural development over here, but you're not stopping it over here with all these regulations that do not take into account a cost-benefit yardstick? There's a benefit yardstick, I know that. There's agenda yardstick, I know that. But the cost part of it is the thing that really worries me. Now, please forgive me for my rant. If you'd like to comment, why, you know, have at it.
I guess the only thing I say is the position I want to do with my agency is that it's our job at all times to advocate for rural citizens and do the best we can to put projects together for them. We want to be a problem-solving agency and address every problem we can and try and deal with it. Now, that's maybe a simplistic response to your very complex challenges you described, but I think for our agency, most of us come from the rural development community. We've worked in nonprofits, we've worked in lending institutions. We want to, and every day...
Yeah, but what about the other agencies? I'm talking about the Department of Labor and EPA with some of these regulations coming down that drive our farmers and ranchers and farm organizations about half nuts, not to mention you know, people on the county commissions and everything else.
Are
you meeting with them at all? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
We do meet with them. We do advocate for rural development, and we do look... Typically, we're looking at programs they have that we think can be helpful to the mission. And HUD, others have resources that are available, so we try to tie together with those in a way that helps us move forward.
Well, I thank you for that, and just say that I know the chairman and the ranking member, all of us here, will back you up in any kind of forceful leadership that you want, anywhere you think you can have better coordination and maybe say whoa on some of this stuff so that we can stop and say maybe we can do this another way, you know. But so many things just pop out of the woodwork. It doesn't even come in the Federal Register. All of a sudden they wake up one morning and they've got another mandate or another regulation, you know, to deal with. Thank you for mentioning the President's initiative on exports. I hope in his meetings with David Cameron that really comes to fruition. I would only remind everybody here that we have a Colombian, South Korea, and Panama trade agreement that have been languishing for several years. If we want to have an initiative, that'd be a darn good place to start. Thank you, Madam Chairman.